Hey, call to order. The Sunshine Statement. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Island.
You are in the meeting now.
Is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and to the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing it with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
I'm here.
Mr. Crowley? Ms. Cusack?
Here.
Mr. Dockerty?
Here.
Ms. Longbecker?
Here.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So now I need a motion and a second to approve previous meeting minutes for August 10th.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second that. Dockerty?
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusack?
Yes.
Mr. Dockerty?
Yes.
Ms. Longbecker?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
Okay, so this evening, we recognize the borough employees with 25 years of service and more. There's 11. So, on behalf of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, I would like to thank these employees for their service to this wonderful town. It is because of employees such as these, employees who are dedicated and committed to Atlantic Highlands, that we have such a wonderful place to live and work. We thank them for choosing to work here and sincerely appreciate everything that they do every day for the borough of Atlantic Highlands. So what I'm going to do is, as I read your name, please stand up and come to the front. Okay. So I'm starting with Michael Moore. For 24 years of service to the borough of Atlantic Highlands. So. Go down here. Thank you. You can hand them out. So, and I'm really excited with this one. This certificate is for Harry Murtha for 26 years of service. And I have to say, welcome back, Harry.
Yes.
This afternoon at 3, so we're just
appreciate everybody's prayers and support, and I don't want to make about me. These fine people deserve their day, so but thank you very much for
thank you. And I don't see Jerry. Is Jerry here? No. He's here in spirit. So Jerry Stewart, 32 years of service. So. And where's my birthday? Is Jim Phillips here?
No, he's not.
No.
He's
out of town. So he 33. You don't want to hear it once, so 33 years of service for Mr. Jim Phillips. Nice. Mark Ackerson, 35 years. Wow. Eddie Edelbeck, 35 years.
position that we have to stop. Thanks, Dr.
And Jeffrey Merker, 36 years. And Martin Holly, but Marty Holly, 36 years. And here we get to the big swinger, Roger Korek. I just call you Roger, so I don't. It's just like Roger. 40 years.
Wow.
And Rudy Trivett, 40 years. And last but not least, James Osborne, 45 years of service. Councilwoman, what?
Take a picture with them.
I'm making a calendar.
They have it in the back. Move down. Everybody in.
It's Roger.
There you go.
That's nice.
We need to take a break. We're not getting an audience.
You do it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so at this time, we're going to ask for a five-minute break. We're having some technical difficulties, and we have Mr. Doug Rohmeyer working on it. So we'll be back to you after this commercial break.
I know.
You know what's the funniest thing is, you know, you are all like on Facebook, everyone that's Jets fan, like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, I'm a Lions fan. What?
You guys are up to a good story.
They start off
good this year.
Strong and everything. And
they're coaching.
I'm an Eagles fan, so
I know.
What do you think, Brian?
I'm feeling good.
They didn't play any of their starters in the preseason. And the first game was a little to go into England and win.
We are going to try to, we think we fixed the situation here. So we're going to resume the meeting.
Can I have for Richard online? Are you able to do this? Raise your hand if you can hear us. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. So what we're going to do now is we had asked Mr. Giacobbe, who's special counsel for the regionalization matter, if he could patch in to provide an update to the public. So he is online. We're going to be patching him in and allow him to provide an update. Good evening, Mr. Giacobbe.
Good evening, how are you? Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thank you for patching in. If you could provide an update to the public regarding the regionalization matter, that would be greatly appreciated.
Good evening, everyone. The regionalization right now is bifurcated. As the public probably knows, there's a vote of Atlantic Highlands and Highlands scheduled for September 26th. There'll be a ballot, and that is to ask the voters if they desire to regionalize the two elementary schools and Henrietta Regional High School. That's the first step in the process. The commissioner has approved that vote to go forward. The commissioner has not yet approved a vote to incorporate Seabright. The commissioner, people might recall, a number of months ago, dismissed Oceanport and Shore Regional's challenge. The commissioner dismissed that. Shore Regional and Oceanport filed an appeal in the New Jersey Appellate Division. So the commissioner has indicated that she's not going to approve a petition for Seabright until that litigation is concluded. They're challenging her decision. So that's in advance. But I think what's very telling is that the vote that occurs, the outcome of what occurs on Tuesday is quite important for regionalization, because if the primary, the two elementaries in County Hudson are not regionalized, there's no regional school for Seabright to join. So I do believe that, the vote on Tuesday will be quite impactful on the outcome of the regionalization, which would include Seabright. I think the commissioner is probably watching the outcome of that vote. So that's all we have right now. There is a vote, as I said, on Tuesday 26th. And I think that will be a very telling outcome. I think that's going to be closely watched by the commissioner. And, you know, will probably or likely impact her determination as to what she does with Seabright. I don't think that there's a high likelihood of the success on the appeal for Oceanport and Shore Regional, because in the appellate division, they give great deference to executive branch decisions, such as the Commissioner of Education. They have to demonstrate that her decision was arbitrary, capricious, and unreasonable. But nevertheless, she is giving, due accord to the appellate division, is going to await that ruling. So I don't know if the council has any questions for me.
No. I believe not at this time. So thank you.
Okay. Would, does the public have any comments they would briefly like to make? Or Mr. Jacoby logging off? Okay.
Here, Al Smith, 29 London Avenue. Hi, Mr. Jacoby. Could you tell me, please, is there any guarantee or any assurance that if it is K through 12 here, that that Oceanport won't sue again if Seabright tries to come into the K through 12?
No, so if you become a K-12, there's already a petition down before the commissioner seeking her approval to allow Seabright to have that ballot. Can I guarantee that Oceanport won't sue again? I can't guarantee anything, but right now the commissioner is, her decision is being challenged on the denial of Oceanport and Shore Regional's challenge. And so once that's decided by the television, Oceanport can't sue on that issue again. That's called claim preclusion. That is shut down. Can they sue for a different reason? I can't predict that.
So they haven't sued to come into an already created K through 12. So that'll be a new thing that Seabright could possibly be doing. That's why I'm asking, could that decision be sued? Could be challenged by Oceanport. That will be a first.
I mean, anybody can challenge anything. You have to understand that where they're in this decision, if this goes through, there's winners and losers. The winner, if you consolidate with Seabright, when I say you, Land Commons, Highlands, and Seabright consolidate, the three towns win. Also, to some extent, tax savings. The losers are Shore Regional and Oceanport. So I think that the vote that occurs on Tuesday the 26th is an important first step. This doesn't have to be done in all one fell swoop. It's an important first step in trying to achieve the goal of having the regionalization of Seabright.
So if it goes through,
if the voters vote down the regionalization, there's no regional school for Seabright to join. So that is, yeah, there's other avenues you can try it again, but The one thing I'm very certain of is that courts and commissioners and the executive branch look at voters, they give great weight to how voters decide them. We have a whole state that people look at the power of votes. So I do believe that September 26th vote is a very important vote if you watch by the commissioner litigation.
See if I didn't try to join a K-12 group before they tried to form their own regionalization with two other towns. If it gets approved Tuesday, and if Seabright then wants to join the K-12 regionalization, I would assume that Seabright voters vote on it. Does the regional board make the decision, or do Highlands and Land Towns voters vote on it?
All the voters vote on it.
It's not a decision of the Board of Education?
No. Well, it's ultimately a vote of the voters of the three municipalities. And if you recall, I think there was actually many months ago a resolution passed where we were at a meeting early in the summer where the towns passed a resolution that had the language of what would be the referendum.
Okay, but I'm sorry to be slow on it, but it has been pretty confusing. It's changed a few times. If we are a K-12, that is not a board's decision whether another municipality can come into the regionalization, into the regional school district?
No, it's actually, so what's happened right now is the question, the referendum question for Seabright to join was approved by the executive county superintendent and then transmitted to the commissioner. So at this juncture, all that's been done is up to the commissioner to grant Seabright, to grant the decision to go to the ballot for Seabright to join the regional. So we'd have to make, it's now in the commissioner's hands, that issue.
Okay.
And if the commissioner grants that if, so if you regionalize on September 26th, and at a future date, the commissioner says Seabright can have a ballot question, there'll be another set of ballot questions for Landtowns, Highlands, and Seabright to allow Seabright to join your regional school district.
Okay.
That's how it would go.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Mr. Herman?
I think the regionalization is a great idea.
Name, address.
My name is Mike Harmon, 33 Bonnybrook Pass. Sorry, I was wondering, I had the same question as Muriel, and not to ask you again, but we got messages the other day that it was possible for the board to accept Seabright under a different circumstance than a complete regionalization. So as a district, ascending district is what they do now, or I wasn't clear about that answer, and I'm not asking you. I think it needs to be researched. The second question is...
I can answer that for you. That's a very simple answer.
Yeah.
There are send-receive relationships, and right now, Seabright is in a send-receive relationship with Oceanport for its elementary and for regional for high school. And to get out of a send-receive and go to a different send-receive, you have to engage what's known as a feasibility study. And a feasibility study looks at statutory criteria to determine whether or not there's no adverse impact on any department. And they look at economic impact, they look at racial impact, they look at the disparity that occurs, they look at whether or not square footage can bring these children in. It's a requirement under the law, and it takes quite a bit of time, and there's often litigation infused through that process, because it's kind of like a divorce and a remarriage, to put it in layman's terms. And finally, even after you do the feasibility study and you go through the whole process, it goes to the Commissioner of Education, and she has to approve. If she doesn't approve it, it doesn't happen. So, this is one where the big, big difference between the send and receive is, that's just the board decision. The, you know, ocean port, or seed right, you know, that's how it's a board type of decision. What we're doing here is, we're giving and empowering the taxpayers, the voters of the town, to make the decision. So, I think that, I don't know who said that, that's not what's been pursued. The actual original petition, with Seabright joining, it's the one pending before the commissioner, was the one that was filed by, jointly by, the attorney representing the school boards, the attorney representing Seabright in Highland, and myself. And that's the one that's still down with the commissioner. That less aired in the first, but the commissioner has not, because of pending litigation.
So just to, what you said there, so one board could theoretically accept Seabright as a sin, as a receiving district, without having to go through another referendum in town?
I would say that the chances of that happening are slim to none. I think that if the referendum fails,
if the referendum passes and there's one school board, could Seabright then apply as a sending district to the...
They cannot apply. They can't. They have no right to apply. They have to get permission from the commissioner after going through a very lengthy feasibility study to go in. And that, I'll just tell you, that's going to be fraught with years of litigation.
But that's a
I would say this is a much better chance of this working out with voter approval than trying to dissolve the Tennessee. They're very difficult to dissolve. I'm involved in a few of them very, very hard.
Thank you. The second question is, can a board change the apportionment method on their own, or do they need a referendum? And is the 10-year in place, is that still in effect? I know that was 10 years that you had a way to change. I'm not sure if that's still in effect. In other words,
I couldn't answer that question.
In other words, right now we're going under
I've never heard of any board in the 30 years I've been doing it changing any type of an apportionment. That really ultimately is, again, the levy and everything is managed by boards of ed don't collect taxes. They set a budget, and their budget is based on the levy plus state aid. It's the municipalities that collect the taxes. They collect not only the school's taxes, they also collect the county's taxes, and they're remitting. So my understanding is that apportionment is done through municipalities, not from school boards, but we'd have to confirm that with Robert Benny, who's my answer.
All right, thank you.
Okay, if there's no other comments.
Wait, there's one on Zoom.
Ms. Abby Way, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'd like to apologize for not having my camera. I had some eye surgery again, hopefully the last one, so I'm going to be remain off camera. I just have one question. Tracy Abby Way, 7 Hilton Road, Atlanta Highlands. I just have one question for Mr. Jacoby. So, based on what you just shared with Michael Harmon, we would have to do a third feasibility study with Seabright, just as we have done in the past, with the recommendation to include Seabright, and then do this entire process all over again if we were looking to bring in additional revenue and additional students.
Well, you guys did not do a feasibility study. All you did were, there was the 4-0 study, there was the Kane study, and there was and Robert Bennett, our expert, reviewed them.
I stand to correct you. I have the feasibility study that was signed, but members of the council that are sitting on this on the dais now that participated in the very first feasibility study that included Seabright.
I thought you were talking about the process that I've been involved in. I never saw that.
No, I'm talking about the two that we've already paid for by grants that told us to join the CRED immediately. We have decided to take a, quote, easier route, which will, based on the conversation we heard last night and Henry Hudson, which will give a tax increase to the members of Atlantic Highlands. My question is, we've already had to, they've already told us something, and you're telling us we're going to have to do another one, and then we'll decide whether we want to buy those fundings.
No, so what I'm telling you is, what you guys have done is these studies that have been done look at the, you're talking about the Forgio and the King's Place.
The question, let me rephrase my question, Mr. Giacobbe. We've all been very involved in this. I'm just asking to clarify, if we decide we want to invite Seabright in after this passes, we have to do the entire process over, so we will have to retain additional experts, we will have to go out for another lead grant, we will have to put it back on the ballot, so we're basically doing the same thing over again.
No.
Yes or no?
It's different. It's completely different because the feasibility study that I'm talking about also has to collect data from Shore Regional and Oceanport. And what you're talking about is divorcing the central seams from Shore Regional and Oceanport, and you have to have all the demographic data from those schools.
Matt, let me interrupt.
I think that it's a more comprehensive study.
I think the question is being asked, it was based on what Mayor Harmon was asking about. She's asking about if we just go forward the way we're proceeding right now and put Seabright as the next referendum question after the commissioner approves it. The question you're answering is about sending receiving districts. We're not talking about that.
Right.
So that's what I think. I think that's the confusion. We don't have to do another feasibility study.
That's the question. If the question is, if this regionalization occurs on September 26th and the commissioner, the petition's already before the commissioner, if the commissioner approves that, the Seabright referendum question, we don't have to do any more feasibility studies.
Exactly.
It's just a vote of the public.
Thank you.
Yep, sorry about that. That's it. Don't worry.
Anybody else?
Anyone else?
No one else, Doug?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Mr. Giacobbe, thank you so much for logging on. We appreciate it. We'll speak with you soon.
Best of luck, everybody. On the 26th.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Now, moving over to. I know. How do you segue? I'm sorry. I'm going to say something that's funny, but we have a proclamation September 2023 as Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Councilman Murphy?
Yep, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you asking me to read this. Having some family members and friends that have passed away from this disease, I'm honored to be able to read this. Atlantic Highlands Mayor and Council is proclaiming the month of September 23rd as Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Whereas this year, approximately 288,300 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the United States alone. One man every 2 minutes, and roughly 34,700 will die this year from the disease, about 3,500 more than 2020, which is one man every 15 minutes. And whereas in New Jersey, an estimated 9,460 new cases of prostate cancer will be diagnosed, and an estimated 730 deaths will occur in 2023. And whereas men with relatives, brother, father, son, with a history of prostate cancer are twice as likely to develop the disease. And whereas prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in America of men, and the third leading cause of cancer death behind lung and colon cancer. And whereas 1 in 8 men are diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, and 1 in 6 African American men will develop prostate cancer in their lifetime. Overall, African American men are 1.7 times more likely to be diagnosed with and 2.1 times more likely to die from prostate cancer than white men. And whereas veterans who were exposed to herbicides like Agent Orange are at increased risk for developing prostate cancer and are more likely to have an aggressive form of the disease, And whereas education regarding prostate cancer and the early detection strategies is critical to saving lives, preserving and protecting our families. As well as economic and social burden of prostate cancer is huge on families, and whereas if caught early, prostate cancer has a 5-year survival rate of nearly 100%. However, for late stage prostate cancer, the 5-year survival rate is 31%. And whereas many more men will be diagnosed in 2023 at a later stage because of delayed screenings and treatment due to COVID-19, and whereas all men are at risk for prostate cancer, and we are encouraging the citizens of Atlantic Highlands to increase the importance of prostate awareness and screenings. Now therefore be it resolved, Loretta Gluckstein hereby proclaims the month of September 2023 to be Prostate Cancer Awareness Month in Atlantic Highlands. Thank you, Mayor.
So, here this evening, we have Mr. Mickey Moran, a prostate cancer patient and a member of the Fighting Men Fighting Cancer. Mickey will be receiving his last radiation treatment tomorrow. Please stand up. So we thank Mickey for reaching out to the Monmouth County municipalities regarding this issue and for helping spread the importance for early detection of the disease.
Thank you, Councilor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, you hold it.
Just need your PSA check, man. You gotta do it. I mean, you wouldn't think I was sick. I didn't know. I just went for a yearly physical, and that's how they found me. Please need your PSA check. Thank you.
And now, okay, and thank you, Mickey. So, tomorrow starts, and recognize September 15th through October 15th as National Hispanic Heritage Month for 2023. Whereas Hispanic Heritage Month takes place September 15th through October 15th every year as a time to recognize and celebrate the many contributions, diverse cultures, and extensive histories of the Hispanic community. And whereas during National Hispanic Heritage Month, we recognize the Hispanic heritage is American heritage. And whereas observing Hispanic Heritage Month allows our country to show its recognition and support for the work the Hispanic community is doing in helping this country grow. And whereas National Hispanic Heritage Month is an important reminder of how much strength we draw as a nation from our immigrant roots and our values as a nation of immigrants. And whereas we also recognize that America cannot succeed unless Hispanic families and communities succeed, sharing equally in the benefits of our recovery and our investments. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands does hereby call upon all citizens of Borough to join the celebrating National Hispanic Heritage Month. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands does hereby proclaim September 15th through October 15th as National Hispanic Heritage Month in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. So thank you.
Excellent.
So moving on, unfinished business, ordinance 11, 2023.
Mayor, before you get into that, tomorrow marks another special day. Did you want me to acknowledge that as well?
Mm-hmm.
The tomorrow's National POW MIA Recognition Day.
We can, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Just have something else I'd like to read to honor the day coming up. Sorry to cut you off here, but September 15th is also National POW MIA Recognition Day. And since the American Revolution, people fighting to secure the freedom of the United States have at some points in time been held as prisoners of war, also known as POWs. National POW and MIA Recognition Day was established in 1979 through a proclamation signed by President Jimmy Carter. Since then, each subsequent president has issued an annual proclamation commemorating the third Friday in September as National POW MIA Recognition Day. In 1997, a law was enacted that further strengthened the importance of the day by officially designating it as one of the 6 days per year that the POW MIA flag is required to be flown at the designated federal government agencies. A national level ceremony is held on the National POW MIA Recognition Day, traditionally held at the Pentagon. It features members of each branch of military service and participation from high-ranking officials. In addition to the national-level ceremony, observances of National POW and MIA Recognition Day are held across the country on military installations, ships at sea, state capitals, schools, and veteran facilities. No matter where they are held, these National POW MIA Recognition Day ceremonies share a common purpose of honoring those who were held captive and returned, as well as those who remain missing. I'd like to say God bless our military and all those families out there who have lost a loved one protecting and serving our country.
Thank you. Okay, now unfinished business. Ordinance 11, 2023, amending the fee schedule, street excavations, public hearing, and possible adoption. So we need a motion and a second.
I'll move that. Doherty?
I'll send that. Close it up.
Okay, so we're opening up to the public. Any questions, comments? Zoom?
No hand raised, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we can close the public hearing part. And I need a motion and a second to adopt.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasetto?
Yes.
Ms. Cusack?
Yes.
Mr. Doherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 11, 2023 is passed.
And Ordinance 12, 2023, the 10-minute parking, public hearing, and possible adoption. I need a motion and a second to go into public hearing.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. Any, yes, Ms. Fisher.
Thank you, Madam. Mark Fisher, 9130. I just one question. There's a 10-minute parking space in the harbor at Sissy's, which I don't think is in the ordinance, but would a parking space like that also be part of this ordinance? I don't know what the problem was that caused this ordinance to move forward, but if it's for a lot of 10-minute spaces, it should be for all of them, I would think. But there's space there, and I don't see it on the list.
Yeah, I'd have to check with the chief of police. I can get back to you on that, see what the circumstances are surrounding that specific spot.
Yeah, I know for a fact it's not one of the listed spaces like it is here in the ordinance. Mm-hmm. It's just a sign there.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No hands.
Okay, so now I need a motion and a second to adopt.
I'll second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasetto?
Also, yes.
Ms. Cusack?
Yes.
Mr. Doherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 12, 2023 is passed.
Okay. Ordinance 13, 2023, appropriating $311,000 for various capital improvements. Public hearing. So I need a motion and a second.
Murphy.
Doherty.
Okay. Questions, comments? Anyone on Zoom?
No hands, Mayor.
All right, so I need a motion and a second to adopt.
Murphy.
Dougherty.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Colasetto.
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick.
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty.
Yes.
Ms. Lynn-Lightner.
Yes.
Mr. Murphy.
Yes.
Ordinance 13-2023 is passed.
And now, workshop, improvements to East Garfield Avenue and Grand Avenue.
Thank you, Mayor. So tonight I have our plan set for the public, mayor, and council to review. I want to walk you through it briefly. If you recall, improvements to East Garfield and Grand Avenue is partially funded by two DOT municipal aid grants totaling almost $500,000 in grant funds. We were coming up against the award deadline because we had two grants packaged together to get enough funding to make the project possible. So I'm hoping to be able to gain your authorization tonight to go out to bid publicly for the project. At this point, we routed it through the DOT. They performed a technical review. They green-lighted it to go out to bid. So with the blessing of mayor and council, I'd like to coordinate the public bid process right away and put us in a position to hopefully be on the October agenda to award the project. So what you see here is my cover sheet. East Garfield is this single block, and I'll zoom in a little bit and give you a little more detail, but overall the project is East Garfield between Central and Grand. That portion, that single block, is proposed to consist of replacement of the existing water main and water services, some curbing improvements, and a mill and overlay. Grand, which is the longer hatched portion in north to south orientation, is basically it's a strict mill and overlay project, picking up from where New Jersey Natural Gas left off with their recent overlay adjacent just north of Route 36 mm-hmm. at Wesley. We're going to pick up there, go all the way to Ocean with the mill and overlay. I just want to remind everybody that the handicap ramps along Grand in this portion were recently upgraded using county funding. The borough received a grant through the CDBG program to make all the handicap ramps ADA compliant. So let me just take you through the plan set quickly. Very interesting stuff. So this is East Garfield at the on the left side of the screen, you see our intersection with Central Ave. Stop control. You'll see a new stop bar going in. On the top portion of the overlay hatch, you see the trench work to be done where the existing water main is going to be replaced. So the way the water main is typically constructed, we'll leave the old water main in service, direct the contractor to install the new water main adjacent to it. Once the new water main is in place, the main itself is in place, it'll be pressure tested, bacteria tested. Once we give the contractor the green light, then they will start to transfer over new services to each of the houses. So the residents will initially see trenching and utility works within the street itself. The trenches will be backfilled. We'll allow some time for them to settle, and concrete work will follow that. All new curbing is proposed on the south side of the road. Majority of the curbing on the north side of the block is being proposed to be installed or replaced as well. There's a few sections of newer curb on the north side of this block of East Garfield that works well with our horizontal alignment, and we're able to preserve that to save some money. Spoiler alert, right here, this big X, it's in the public right away in front of 67 East Garfield. It's the one and only tree within the project limits that we're proposing to remove. So it's in bad shape. It is conflicting with the new curb line, and I have a picture of it.
So let's see here. Here we go. We have a, it looks like some sort of a maple. It's badly damaged. It exists under utility lines. It's in direct conflict with our proposed curb line. So in the contract, we're including a form of replacement street tree to replace it. I believe our arborist had recommended a green-based alcova to go back in place of this maple that has to be removed. No other street trees are being proposed to be removed at this point. I'll just walk you through the rest of the plans quickly. Our plan set. Once the screen catches up, you'll see on the right side of the exhibit, we have our intersection with Grand and East Garfield. The existing drainage patterns are proposed to be maintained at the corner here. And then I'll flip to our next sheets, which show us Grand Ave starting from, okay, two viewports here. You'll see our north orientation is in to the right. So we're starting on the upper viewport on the left side. We're picking up at the seam where New Jersey Natural Gas recently stopped their overlay on Wesley. Going right up to all of our newly installed handicap ramps, straight up on these next two viewports to the stone bridge. Work our way up to the bridge. You see on East Highland and on Washington, I am chasing the pavement limits back on the west side to match a nice one of the joints in the pavement. And then we'll go under the bridge and work our way over the hill, back down towards Ocean. Nothing major of interest in this section. This is simply a mill and overlay. We'll aim to remove 2 inches of pavement and replace with 2 inches and fill in any low spots to increase the rideability. Moving on to the intersection of Grand and Hooper. On the east side, there's two handicap ramps that need to be upgraded, and that'll bring us down to the intersection with Ocean Boulevard in dire need of the handicap ramps there, so two more handicap ramps. That's the gist of the project. As I said, two DOT grants are funding the majority of it. There'll be water main on one of the blocks, one street tree to be removed, and I'm looking to hopefully have a recommendation for award to a contractor at or below our estimate at our October meeting. So if we can open to public, if there's any comments or questions, I'd be happy to answer them, but I'd like to reach out to the Asbury Park Press and publish notice of this bid opportunity tomorrow.
The next meeting. Oh, okay. But what type of thing is that? We need to add a resolution.
Doug, just a quick question. You didn't mention anything about Cross Street.
Cross
Avenue. What is it? Cross Street. Yeah. Cross Road. That's what it is.
You're looking to tie into the new pavement there.
Okay.
Yep.
Just somebody who doesn't know that.
Okay.
I'd like to propose a resolution. I mean, add a resolution if the government body's in favor of it to allow the borough engineer to proceed forward with the bidding process.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Lynn Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution is passed. There you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Mr. O'Meara. Okay. Now, moving on to public comments. This is on the consent agenda. There's also public comment after this, but right now, this is for the consent agenda. So, please come up, name, address. Yeah.
Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. Is the sound system for the court and the this chamber the same as the replacement for the recording system, or is it in addition to? Sound system, to me, sounds like what we have in the room. I know you were going to replace the recording system because it's ancient.
Correct.
If you don't know, that's fine.
So, no, I'm sorry, can you... I want to make sure I understand the question properly. Can you just rephrase it again?
Yeah, so in that closet is the recording system. Right. I know replacing that was in the works. Right. Is this something new for the sound system?
No.
Or is it that?
Since the clerk has been the one managing this whole process and put a lot of work into it, I don't want to say something that's incorrect. I'd rather defer to
her. The recording system is this unit.
Okay.
The sound system is the mixers that are in the closet.
And they're connected.
They are connected, but those are 25 to 30 years old. Right. They're guessing.
Right.
So
probably tubes in there and stuff.
Yeah. So, I think that will make this run better.
Okay, so it's the same thing basically.
It's connected.
It's connected. I'm happy.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you to the clerk. She has worked on this.
I know. She's so much
a lot in the past month or two.
Okay.
I want to thank Councilman Murphy for the resolution for the POW and IA. I'm sorry that that wasn't on the agenda, but I do appreciate the fact that you brought it up. I know Mr. Perugina has some things in his report concerning some other patriotic holidays or observances this month. I think we're losing a lot of patriotism in the country, and I think part of it, we're losing it at the council level when we don't recognize so many patriotic days. It's just sad. It's the beginning of a downfall. For your information, and I forget the date, but I'll be happy to provide it this week, the Sea Cadets from Naval Weapons Station Earl, who are high school kids, are presenting a program the end of this month, at which, down at InfoAge in the museum in Wall, at which two prisoners of war, actual real live prisoners of war, who were prisoners of war, are going to be the guest speakers, and I think maybe a lot of people will go and hear that. I know it's not on the agenda, so I don't know if I should be asking it now or not, but because Mr. Jacoby spoke, I was wondering whether the council members, like the Highlands council members, want to give their ways that they're voting on the regionalization question on the 26th.
Is this an appropriate time? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just asking my attorney.
I think that many of them would be willing to do that, but I think it's more appropriate in the open question section.
I wasn't sure of that. Yep. Okay, just, like I said, I didn't even know Mr. Jacoby was going to be on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Kayla. Okay. Anyone else? Now, anyone on Zoom?
No hands raised, ma'am.
Okay. So, no hands raised. We can move on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 123, supporting Clean Ocean Action Beach Sweep. Resolution 124, authorizing QPA to award window contract purchases. 125, approving a one-year lease agreement with Atlantic Pier Company. 126, approving special item of revenue, Chapter 159, body-worn camera grant. 127, approving special item of revenue, 159, bulletproof vest grant. 129, authorizing renewal of lease agreement on the deck. 130, authorizing DMR to provide conceptual plan for Center Avenue Park. Resolution 131, authorizing sale of surplus property. Resolution 132, harbor rates summer for 2024, winter 2024, and 2025. Resolution 133, authorizing state contract for bucket truck. Resolution 134, payment of bills, $1,771,423.78.
Resolution 136, authorizing the purchase of a sound system for court and council chambers. Resolution 137, authorizing the purchase of a door access system and installation. I need a motion and a second.
Hold on, you skipped number six.
I did?
Yep.
I did? Oh, 128, approving special item of revenue. Oh, I did. Chapter 159, Memorial Parkway Project. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll mark a second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mrs. Kusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Helen Leitner?
Yes, what's going on the naughty side of the room today?
Thank you. Thank you.
The world is changing.
I know. Upside down. Reports.
The naughty side. Mr. Collins.
I'm going to be quick.
Oh, good.
We'll start with recreation. There's a movie night scheduled for the 24th of the month. It was canceled due to Yom Kippur. We're looking to reschedule a movie night in October. There's a movie theme, a Halloween theme movie, Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah. Perhaps with a Halloween theme movie. That's all I have on recreation. In terms of fire, for the 13th to 14th consecutive meeting, I have no report on fire. In terms of the Environmental Commission, there was a meeting 2 weeks ago, and the meeting focused around two issues. The first issue was the ERI, and the commission is continuing to make progress, and I think we're going to be really start getting into the meat of the document now that the framework for it has been kind of set in place. But the majority of the meeting focused on the discussion regarding the environmental impact of 160 First Avenue, and I think Councilman Dougherty is going to be talking a little bit more about the special meeting that's going to be held next week. Similarly, at the State Tree Commission meeting, which was yesterday, there was also similar discussion about the impact that 160 First Avenue may have related to the streetscape and the canopies of the trees. That the trees on First Avenue and on Garfield provide to the community. There was also discussion about a project that I feel like I've reported on for some time, the tribute plaques. And we think that within the next couple months, the tribute plaques are going to be up and running with QR codes. So you'll be able to go to a tree in a harbor, scan a code, and it's going to give you a really nice biography. A lot of the great residents of Atlantic Highlands who have served our community most for decades, and I think it's a really great thing that we're giving them the honor and the, you know, indefinite recognition that they deserve. So I think it's a really great project. And then lastly, at Shade Tree, we discussed the fall planting, which is going to be occurring in fall, soccer, and we expect 10 to 15 trees to plant throughout the community. And I think it's important for the community to understand that if you want a new tree, you can make a request through Borough Hall for a new tree to be planted outside your house. And we're obviously always looking to add more trees to the community. And I think that should be something that we're all doing. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Councilwoman Cusick.
Okay, senior citizens, the committee will be meeting tomorrow, so I don't have any report necessarily related to the committee, but the club, the senior club did meet on Monday with over 50 people in attendance, which is about average. We usually have a little bit more. There's a number of activities planned, including a trip to Smithville, the annual Christmas party, and a Christmas show at the First Avenue Playhouse. The walking group restarts tomorrow. We've been on abeyance because of the very hot Friday mornings in the last few months. OEM, we continue to work on policies related to the public notification, a siren system,
and the EMIT, which stands for Emergency Management Mapping and Information Tracking. There are so many alphabet soups that we have in OEM, including OEM. The EMIT training and drills are continuing, and we're very much up to date on that. Under Veterans Affairs, the committee did not meet over the summer, but we did meet last Tuesday, and a number of things we're working on in support of the Veterans Day, November 11th, with the American Legion and VFW. I do have a public service announcement related to veterans, and I hope you will, any veterans that you are aware of, will be able to take advantage of this. There is a program for any veterans who have been deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, or within the Central Command, discharged anytime between 11 September 2001 and 1 October 2013, they're eligible to enroll in the VA health care system. They don't have to be rated with a disability of any sort, nor do they have to have a service-connected issue, but they are eligible to enroll in this. The issue is it's only until September 30th. Registration runs out September 30th. So if you know of anyone, if you yourself fall into that category, you can take advantage of this program, and you can go to va.gov/PACT or call 1-800-MY-VA-411. PACT stands for, it's a very long title, federal government, remember, the Sergeant First Class Health Heath Robinson Honoring Our Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. In other words, it's concerns about exposure in the oil fields during those two big conflicts over there. So please, if you know anybody, please, again, I would say that va.gov/PACT if you know anybody who may be eligible. And it's only available until September 30th. So please take advantage of it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. I'll start with finance and personnel. I actually have no updates for either. I also have, like Councilman Collins said, no general update for the fire department. However, spoiler alert, my understanding is Mr. Ferragina will be making an important apparatus update in his report in a couple minutes. I'm just teeing it up for him. I'll spend the bulk of my report to talk about planning board. The planning board met last Thursday, September 7th. Its first order of business was to announce a special meeting to hear PB23-ZR2. That's the proposed mixed-use building at 160 First Avenue. The special meeting will be held on Tuesday, September 19th at 7 p.m. here in this room to hear the amended application. There have been some significant changes, so please check those out. At the September 7th meeting in regular business, a bulk variance request at 148 Bayside Drive was approved, as was another at 6 Bonnie Bray Path. The board then participated in a concept review for a proposed project at 42 First Avenue. That's the location of the Harborside Bar and Grill. A concept review appears in our Chapter 150 regulations as something an applicant or developer can request to discuss a potential project. It is not a completed application, so there is therefore nothing formally pending before the planning board. The concept discussed was for 22 residential units proposed to be built above the existing Harborside restaurant and above a ground floor parking area, which would accommodate 22 vehicles. The applicant would then propose to use municipality-owned parking lots for the balance of their parking needs. As can be expected, much of the board discussion feedback centered on this parking issue and the traffic issues surrounding that proposed development. It was a very interesting discussion. This was the second of these that I was a participant in. I encourage anyone to listen to the recording of the meeting, which is available on the website, ahnj.com. I will continue to keep the public updated when and if any formal application is made. And finally, I'm pleased to announce the borough has won two additional EV charger grants through the NJDEP Pays to Plug In program. Each grant is worth up to $24,000 each, so a total of $48,000 if we were to utilize both locations. Blake Deacon, the chairman of the Environmental Commission, and I are continuing to work on this project and hope to have something concrete to announce soon to bring state-of-the-art EV chargers to our community. So stay tuned. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. And Councilwoman Hohenleitner?
Thank you, Mayor. Just wanted to add to Mr. Colasurdo's report for the Shade Tree Commission. There is a statement, or sorry, a
be a communication from the Shade Tree Commission to the planning board with regards to the shade tree portion, which is one of the obligations of the Shade Tree Commission, is to comment if in Mr. Romeyer's review, he calls out that we need to approve any tree removal. So there is a communication coming prior to the planning board meeting. And I think that I had communicated with you other requests that we had just to see how many trees are proposed to be removed for the project. So that's just in addition to Mr. Clauser, though. Also, so for Green Team meets next week, but we had talked at our last meeting about starting a seed library. And so if anybody's interested in participating in that, we are going to collect them at Borough Hall. We'll have a station available. They just need to be in dry packets that can be, they're labeled. And we would prefer non-invasive species, please. Native plants, important. Harbor, thank you to the council for approving the harbor rate increases and the lease for On the Deck. That's wonderful. I asked Mr. Sawyer to send me just a quick soundbite on the lease, the headboat, and the other tenants in the actual harbor. So there were suggestions of 0 to 3%, and we decided to go with 2%, which was a little less than the CPI, but other harbors were not raising this year. We kept the headboats flat. We know it's been challenging for the headboats, and we're trying to work with them for other options, potentially for those slips that are sitting empty. But we generally raised 2% across the board. And he was sorry for the delayed response. He was good. Also in the harbor, we were thrilled to have the Muirwald in port, and I hope many of you were able to get on board. I know I was able to, and it was really gorgeous, and the history that they bring to our harbor every couple of years, and we're hoping that to have it come every year was really wonderful. In addition to the recreational, are you reporting on the music festival? The harbor was really happy to work with recreation on the music festival. It was extremely successful, and it was completely clean the next day. There was a lot of work done to make sure that the harbor was clean. I can tell you that walking to the Muirwald with the mayor and Mr. Farragina, mm-hmm. we have two people who are also regularly making sure that they're picking up as they walk through the harbor. So if you see them with their little sticks, that's part
thank
of it.
You, Mike,
right? I appreciate that. Mrs. Clark's giving them grabbers so that they're not picking it with their hands. The police sent a very extensive report, but the absolute most important thing happening in the police department is that you are back. So there's been, it's had a huge impact, you not being here, and everybody's just thrilled to have you back. Police are doing Coffee with a Cop on October 4th in partnership with Starbucks. They're really excited about those kind of outreach initiatives, so please stop by. The film crews that are paid for by the film production companies, they've been working very closely with the police department to make sure that there's as little disruption as possible, but they're also making sure everything's safe, so thank you for that. And good news, we are bringing on a special two. At the end of the month, Robert Barda, he's from Middletown, and we're going to be welcoming him at the end of the month. Back to the harbor, our tenant appreciation dinner is next Friday evening, and I think that is it. I attended the regionalization meeting along with the mayor. That was a really great fair, and I'm happy to tell you that as I've expressed on the record many times, you know, we really would love to have Seabright as part of the region, and so I definitely will be voting for the step for that, which is on the 26th. I'll vote yes. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Well, it's my turn, Mayor.
Yep.
Right. I will start with DPW and then jump on some others. Number one, cardboard. All residents and businesses, please, this one's bolded and underlined, make sure that you are tying up your cardboard and paper products into bundles, or you are breaking down the cardboard and putting into a box that is secure. Loose cardboard and paper products can blow all over town on recycling pickup days. Warnings will be issued to those who do not comply. Quick reminder, with fall cleanups beginning, please do not blow leaves, dirt, or grass clippings into the roadway. Please remind your lawn or yard contractors this as well.
Moved on brush. The next scheduled pickup is in October. Please check the borough calendar. Any material that is out in town is now in violation. The borough yard is open from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday for brush drop-off for borough residents. Additional yard hours is strongly requested by residents. Well, your request has been granted. The borough yard will be open for leaf and brush drop-off every Saturday and Sunday in November and December from 8 a.m. to noon. Stone Bridge, the underside of the Stone Bridge was recently painted by the DPW and it looks fantastic. Hydrants, please maintain all hydrants by keeping a minimum of 3 foot clearance in all directions. Basins, multiple basins were vacuumed townwide by a shared service program with Monmouth County and the DPW. Gazebo, the new gazebo has been delivered and is on location at Center Avenue. The DPW will need some time to construct the benches and finish the site between the scheduled work. The area is looking great. First aid ramp. Recently, the first aid ramp was sealed and patched as it was in the need to provide longevity to the project and to protect the ramp, excuse me. Traffic lines. Many of the traffic lines in the intersection crossings throughout the borough have a thermoplastic material applied. This has made a huge improvement at many crosswalks. Stop lines and dual yellow lines. Next year, we look to expand the project in other town areas. Please refer to the borough calendar for all other DPW instructions. Jumping over to the first aid squad. The squad responded to 296 calls year to date. At the same time this time last year, that number was only 178 calls. This is a 66% increase in calls, approximately that's 118 calls to be exact. Not only is there an increase in calls answered, but the number of members answering at least one call a month has gone from 2 to 4 to 18 plus. This is a big testament to the members' willingness to step up and answer the calls, as well as the leadership of the current line. Personally, I would like to express my gratitude and support. It's good to know our residents are in good hands and well taken care of. What's new with the squad? Two new applications were recently accepted by the membership committee and will be introduced to the squad at the next meeting. In addition, leadership continues to reach out to past members requesting their return. A special shout out to past member Gwen Reynolds for rejoining the team. There are 3 more pending applications that will be reviewed and considered over the next couple weeks. Lastly, September's drill was on proper techniques for lifting and moving patients. This training will help ensure the safety and protection of our first responders as well as allow for them to be of better service to our community. Members are always wanted and needed. If any community resident would like to join the squad, please email info@ahfirstaid.org. Just to add a little bit to recreation, our recreation soccer is underway and off to a great start. I'd like to give a special shout out to Andrew Zuzalak for stepping up this year to help run the program. He is doing a fantastic job. Yay! Hopefully Andrew will see this recording and hear those two. Halloween parade and festival will take place on October 28th and will be another great day filled with awesome costumes, music, food, and fun activities for our families. We hope to see all out there that day and ready to have a good time. Just to add to the harbor, the promenade, was recently resealed and looks great. Efforts to maintain and improve our lovely harbor continue to take place. We want to thank all employees dedicated to this community for all that they do down there. Quick update on open space. An open space survey for the Center Avenue Park is being finalized and will be available for distribution within the next couple days. I can give a special thank you to member Ellen O'Dwyer and Katrina Majewski for their work, for their hard work on this. The first public session is scheduled on our regular meeting date, September 20th at 7 p.m. It will be held at the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School. Our planner will be giving an overview of the project and the process, as well as discuss the next steps. Details to follow on the borough's social media and website. I'd like to also say, I'd like to give also a special shout out from the AHPD. Special welcome back to Captain Harry Murtha tonight. Yeah. Your brothers and sisters of the force, along with your community, missed you and couldn't be happier that you were healthy and back to work. That is it, Mayor, for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Farragino.
Okay, so there's a couple of doubles here. A couple of people here stole my thunder on a couple of things, so you need to, I'm going to say it anyway. So as was previously announced, the municipality's open space is hosting the a session with our redevelopment planner, Fran Reiner, DMR, next Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the elementary school. Thanks to the council for approving that this evening. Prior to coming in to the meeting tonight, it was pointed out to me that the water bottle filling station in the hallway is reading over 5,000 at this point. So what that means, what that translates into from an environmental perspective, is that over 5,000 water bottles weren't used because people utilized the water bottle filling station. So that's a big deal. So thank you to all
the
people.
It was the 5,000.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, but I use it to water my plants every day in my office. Anyway, the tax sale will take place on October 4th. As reported earlier this week, the Harbor Promenade was crack sealed and then surface sealed. This will prolong the life of the promenade surface and also improve on the visual aesthetics of that area of the harbor. If you haven't been down there, it looks really good. They did a great job. On August 15th, the mayor and I attended the Hackensack Meridian Mayor's Delegation briefing held at the Monmouth County Sheriff's Facility in Freehold. The Hackensack Meridian Health CEO Bob Garrett and other senior leadership provided highlights on their work in Monmouth County to support the area communities. On Friday, August 18th, I attended the Heat and Hurricanes Extreme Weather Preparedness webinar hosted by Congressman Frank Pallone, Congressman Andy Kim, and Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman. On Thursday, August 24th, as was reported, Mayor Gluckstein, Councilwoman Hohenleitner, and I attended a dockside reception and then boarded the A.J. Mirwald Oyster Schooner. We appreciate the Mirwald visiting Atlantic Islands Harbor. On September 8th, the Borough Engineer, DPW Director, Chief of Police, Water Sewer Authority, and I attended the Monmouth County pre-construction meeting in Freehold regarding the county's 2023 resurfacing program. The contract has been awarded to Earl Asphalt Company, which has subcontracted a portion of the project to Stavola Construction. That includes the Atlantic Highlands portion, which consists of County Road 8, Ocean Boulevard from Prospect Road to Orchard Avenue, an approximate 1 mile distance. The borough engineer will elaborate when he does his report. On September 8th, Governor Murphy signed Executive Order 340 ordering the U.S. and state flags to be flown at half-staff on the 11th in recognition and in mourning of the victims of the attacks of September 11th, 2001, including those from our home state. The borough obviously complied. On September 11th, Patriots Day, the mayor, myself, Councilman Murphy, and Councilwoman Cusick and Councilwoman Hohenleitner joined the Monmouth County Board of County Commissioners and the Monmouth County Park System at Mount Mitchell Scenic Overlook for a time of reflection and remembrance, as well as we all mark the 22nd anniversary of the tragedy of September 11, 2001. The memorial ceremony included many residents from the greater Monmouth County area. May we never forget. On September 12th, all borough employees attended the second annual Municipal Employee Health Fair sponsored by Bayshore Pharmacy, East Point Health and Fitness, and Atlantic Islands Medical Associates. The event was funded through a grant from the Central Jersey Insurance Fund, and this is the second year that we applied and received the grant. On September 12th, Governor Murphy signed Executive Order 341 ordering the U.S. and state flag to be flown past staff from Wednesday the 13th through Thursday the 14th in recognition and mourning of BPU President Joseph L. Fiordaliso. The borough obviously complied. The Monmouth County Health Department has offered the borough a free supply of COVID test kits. As a result, Atlantic Islands has received 97 cases, which consists of 582 kits. Each kit has two tests inside for a total of 1,164 tests. Kits are available at the front counter at Borough Hall starting tomorrow. One kit per person, first come, first serve. Earlier this week, the borough was informed that the county library located in Borough Hall will be open on Mondays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., effective Monday, September 18th. So we thank the county for that. Fire Apparatus Committee update.
Yay!
After an extensive and detailed process, the borough will be contributing $750,000 towards the purchase of a new frontline fire apparatus. The Atlantic Highlands Fire Department Incorporated will be contributing up to $125,000 toward the apparatus. The borough will be leasing the apparatus and is in the initial stages of that process. A resolution is being planned to be presented at the September 28th council meeting.
It's a long time coming.
A lot of work went into that.
A lot of work.
Ambulance update. The borough has begun to collect information from several manufacturers. We are working on a meeting date with Lance Hubany to review that information. I would like to thank Muriel Smith, who reached out to me recently and pointed out the following important days in September. Therefore, I'm happy to acknowledge them to the public. September 16th is American Legion Day. The American Legion was granted its federal charter by Congress on this day in 1919. It was established to support and assist veterans returning from World War I. The U.S. Air Force will celebrate its 76th birthday on September 18, 2023. International Week of the Deaf runs from September 19th to the 25th. It's a time when people can come together annually to recognize and celebrate the vibrant deaf community. World Day of the Deaf is celebrated on September 24th. U.S. National Women's Health and Fitness Day is celebrated every year on the last Wednesday of September, falling on September 27th this year. September 29th, VFW Day, a day for us to commemorate the hard work and sacrifice of veteran men and women who have selflessly served in the United States of America. September is Blood Cancer Awareness Month, Library Card Sign-Up Month, National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and World Alzheimer's Disease Month. So again, thank you, Muriel, for pointing that out. And the library recently held an event down at the harbor where they brought a miniature horse, Roxy, which for therapy. It's a therapy horse, and they had a lot of children down there. And it's the first time that they've done it here in Atlantic Islands. And the kids had a wonderful time.
And
I know that the county appreciated us allowing that to take place in the borough.
All right.
Regarding the Denholz construction site. As reported at the August 10th meeting, since the construction has begun on that private property located off of Avenue D, there have been a few residents who have expressed environmental concerns ranging from dust to soil contamination to reports of oil leaks on the water. We were informed that several complaints were filed with the NJDEP prior to the August 10th council meeting and a few filed since that time with the NJDEP. As previously noted, the NJDEP, which is the highest level of environmental authority in the state, has visited the site several times as well as the county health department prior to the meeting that was held last month. They are dispatched each time an official complaint is made and has been on site at least seven times prior to the August 10th meeting and a few times since. On August 10th, it was reported that both the NJDEP and the county health department had not identified any calls for action from their respective departments and the construction site has been kept active. On August 30th, the borough received a request for comment from the Asbury Park Press regarding the construction site. The borough provided a response on August 31st, which the press added to their article. My office instructed the borough clerk to place the borough's response on the borough website under announcements titled Press Release APP Denholz Property, and to have the DEP phone number placed on the front page of the borough website in the bottom left-hand corner. It is in a large red-colored box. Midday on the 31st, the borough was informed that on Thursday afternoon, the DEP issued a field notice of violation of NJAC 714A24A1 for the failure of the permittee to process and or operate in compliance with a certified soil erosion and sediment control plan. The NOV directs Brand Point Development to comply with the soil erosion sediment control plan approved by the Federal Soil Conservation District or submit a revised plan to the district within 30 days of receipt of the NOV. The borough engineer can elaborate and explain what that actually means. He's the engineer. The borough code enforcement officer continues to be on site multiple times per day and has not identified any borough code violations or concerns outside of the aforementioned DEP notice. The borough fire marshal and water sewer license superintendent continues to be occasionally on site and has expressed no concerns. Same with the OEM coordinator. She's been advised of the complaints to the DEP and doesn't have any concerns. My office continues to have conversations with the police chief and the DPW director regarding road closures and any needs or concerns their respective departments may have relative to their respective roles. per the code enforcement officer's request, Dan Holtz continues to have a, or the contractor, continues to have a water truck on site to minimize dusting. The borough DPW department is continuing to assist with refilling the water truck. As previously reported, all department, all appropriate permits regarding the construction site have been filed with the borough to date. My office continues to advise the borough attorney of the complaints filed with the DEP and any other concerns raised regarding the site. In early September, the borough engineer and I met again with the site LSRP and Denholz representatives. Included in the meeting, we reiterated that the Avenue D entrance should continue to be the primary entrance for the construction site, with the water truck to continue to be used to minimize dusting. We also inquired about scheduling, and the borough engineer will elaborate on that meeting. The borough continues to have direct contact and conversations with the New Jersey DEP environmental specialist, the Monmouth County Health Department, and various other entities. As was reported at the August 10th meeting, the borough attorney sent an official letter to the NJDEP regarding the concerns raised by various residents pertaining to the construction site. My office has also sent communications to the NJDEP and did receive a response from the NJDEP indicating that they did receive my letter and that they're doing what they can to assist with our concerns. Residents who have environmental concerns should continue to contact the DEP directly. If they email their concerns to the borough, we will happily forward it to the DEP and the Monmouth County Health Department. Residents who feel any laws are being violated should email the violations to my office to have the borough attorney look at them. I will now ask the borough engineer if he would like to provide any additional information during his report. Thank you.
Mr. Rollmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Farragina. A lot of information about the Denholz subdivision. I concur with everything you've said. I just want to confirm, yes, September 1st, I did visit the site. Our office has a site inspector on site regularly to be in place to observe construction and confirm that the work is being completed in compliance with the approved plan. But on September 1st, I visited the site. Our CME SRP, our site remediation professional, was with me. We met with representatives of the developer, the contractor, and the assigned site SRP just to review the site status, ensure compliance with their groundwater remedial action work plan that's in place. And specifically, we did discuss the NOV. So the notice of violation issued by DEP, just to summarize what that really was DEP found an inconsistency with the temporary grading on site as the contractor rough grades the site to bring it into final grades and carve out the road and construct the utilities. The contractor has the site in a temporary grading condition. DEP found that the temporary grading condition did not meet the grades on the approved county soil erosion plan that was certified by Real Soil Conservation District. So the inconsistency of the grading resulted in the NOV, and the developer was asked with his team to reconcile the on-site grading with the certified temporary grading plans. Our office took no issue with the temporary condition. Basically, to my understanding, talking to the developer's representatives, was that the temporary grading inconsistency consisted of some berming on the side by the catamaran club to address concerns with runoff coming off the site. So they were directed to create that berming, and it resulted in the technical non-compliance. So we're anticipating or expecting an updated plan to clean that up and address the NOV in place. While we were on site, we did observe some ramping along the waterfront, some ramping to allow vehicles to get down, where we thought that would be a potential area for runoff in some of these heavy storms to go right towards the silt fencing in a concentrated manner. So we directed some additional site grading to address that.
And two other things I want to report on quickly. September 8th, there was the borough was invited to the Monmouth County pre-construction meeting for their 2023 road program. This program includes a section of Ocean Boulevard. It runs from from Orchard on the east side of the municipality over to the intersection with Prospect. What we learned, the takeaways from that pre-construction meeting were, the big major takeaways were that the county, via their utility notice procedure, they got New Jersey Natural Gas on board to get into the work area before the paving is completed. And the gas company, I believe they've already been mobilized and are on site already. They're going to replace the main and the services within those project limits. And then we're told that as soon as that work is done, that will allow for the county's contractor to come in and perform their milling overlay. If the utility work is done in time, it could be, you could see the county's work being completed this fall, and if it's not in time with proper settlement time of the trench, the county's paving contractor would likely come in the spring of 24. That work, we were told that work is scheduled to be performed at night. That will allow the contractor to operate in safer conditions when there's less traffic on the roads and, you know, no school buses or any. It'll limit the impacts to the residents. Lastly, I wanted to just communicate that the borough had reached out to DOT in response to some resident complaints or concerns regarding Many Mine Creek backing up way in the upper reaches. This is the area in the King James portion. There's been observed water surface elevations higher than normal in this portion of Many Mine Creek. What we did was we identified a large run of the creek exists just immediately downstream of the area where we received the complaints. That exists within the DOT right away within a pipe section. So 200 feet of piped creek exists, and we brought it to the attention of DOT, and they've committed to do a formal inspection, televise that run, and make sure there's no blockages within that area. So hopefully, if there's an issue, they find it and will report back to us, and that could alleviate that flooding concern. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Schaefer.
Based on the report you just heard, it's been a busy month. Mm-hmm. All of these things discussed by the business administrator and the engineer have been discussed with my office. And the fire apparatus thing is very cool, although I do want to just correct it's not a lease, it's a lease purchase. We will own the equipment when we're done. So with that amount of money, we're not just going to lease it. But that, we're excited about the opportunity, and we've been on calls figuring out the process, and hopefully we'll have a complete announcement by the next meeting. I've also been reviewing OPRAs. I have been involved in discussions with the Denholt site about it, and have gotten a response from the DEP that Mr. Fragina mentioned. They're on top of it, the engineer's on top of it, and we're very aware of the town's concerns, but the developer's doing everything DEP is asking him to do, and everything that the Department of Health is asking, and our code enforcement. So right now they're operating within the guidelines of all their permits. And as for regionalization, I've also, as you can tell, had some conversations with Matt Jacoby. We're watching that closely also, and have had some conversations with the expert to understand exactly what happened with the regionalization of the three schools versus what happens if you add Seagrave. And the expert has reiterated that based on his calculations, Atlantic Highlands taxpayers save money even with the three schools. Also, good news, not fully vetted with council yet, but at the last meeting I told you I wrote and made an offer on the Mother Teresa property at the request of council. Had not gotten a response, but I have, in the last couple of weeks, heard from the county who was interested in talking to us about it, and finally got a call back from the Diocese Council, who also has indicated that he's spoken to the county, and I'm going to talk to the mayor and council talk to the council in executive session about what those discussions have been, and hopefully we'll get authorization to move forward and meet with the county. Thank you, Mayor Harmon.
Thank you.
I think that's it. Oh, also work with the police chief on the application for a handicap parking permit. So that should be good to go within the next couple of days. And we have three tax appeals pending, one of which is about to get settled at no cost to the municipality. They're going to waive their objections to the assessment for the last couple of years, and we've agreed on the number going forward. It should also be formalized within the next month. Thank you.
So now we're going to be moving on to public comment. Member, come to the front and state your name and address.
Out there, Lil.
Nope.
Do I have to come out?
Yes, you do.
I've had a rough day. I drove to New York and back. Del there, Lil. Three Warner View Drive, Atlantic Highlands. Give me a second to catch my breath. It's been a long day. I have one minor pet peeve. I'm sure you'll all agree that we have limited parking in this town. Yet for 3 days, parking has been taken up by an individual who likes to make films. That's not a problem. My issue is this individual going to reimburse businesses that lost revenue because of lack of parking? I went into a couple of those businesses and they were dead for 3 days. These people still have to pay employees. They still have to pay their bills, and they still have to open every day, and yet they're not getting money from this. So I think you need to rethink these things when you do them. I had to walk quite a while and just to get to where I was going. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I don't do it often. But there are people that go to these businesses, and they're in a rush. They need to have that parking. You can't just shut down a business for 3 days for somebody else's need when they could probably find a better way to do it. That's my complaint. Other than that, things have been pretty good.
Thank you. Fair it out. Questions? Any questions, comments? Mary?
Yeah, it's not 29. So can I ask, Ms. Tomlinger just did say that she is going to vote in the regionalization election. I was wondering whether any of the other councilmen also want to say. Just in fairness, so that you're aware of it, the bookies, the Highlands councilmembers expressed their views publicly, and that's why I'm asking you whether you want to do the same thing as that town did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any big secret that we support regionalization. We've had numerous meetings and spent countless hours and engaged countless professionals. I think that would be because we support it, not because we don't support it. So I am fully supporting regionalization. Thanks.
I very much support the regionalization process, and I've already cast my vote in the process.
Thanks.
I'm so glad I finally got the opportunity to answer this question. Of course I vote for regionalization. That's the whole reason why I ran for mayor. I was on the Board of Ed back when we didn't have a tribe district. And back then, it was the same shenanigans, can I say, that's going on. Everyone was upset. You know, what are we going to do? How is this going to change? How is this going to change the kids? And now it's just the tri-district. You wouldn't even think that it didn't exist. Now, this has been going on for 40 years that we've been talking about regionalization. Well, exactly. As long as I've been in town. So this is something that always should have been. I think this is just a stepping stone to Seabright. If we vote no on this, you're going backwards. Why in the world would anyone want to stop the progression? You know, this is just the first step of bringing in Seabright. And maybe it's not what everyone wanted, like Seabright being in, but you're moving forward. we're moving forward. So that's a definitely a yes. I would talk to anyone about this to try to make sure that they understand it a little bit more.
So in brief, that's a yes vote.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I just want to echo what my colleagues have said. I think by my actions and, you know, my votes on this body and the year and 10 months that I've been a part of it, I'm an enthusiastic supporter of regionalization. I want to credit the boards of ed members for all the work that they've put into this. And I would urge our colleagues from the town next door to reconsider their opposition to it. We've heard that this is an important first step. We are too far along to throw a wrench into this works now. Mm-hmm. So I'm a yes.
And I want to tell everybody that I ask everybody on council if there's one or two things that they really want to get done. And the mayor, the one thing that she really wanted to try to get done before the end of the year was this. And we agreed to work together collaboratively to make sure that the voters could vote, because that's the most important thing. The voters are going to vote.
Ms. Bennett, I appreciate the question and addressing it, bringing it to the attention. Having been recused from this the entire time, I don't believe it's appropriate, unless advised otherwise, to comment on that for myself.
Tell me that again, because I didn't hear that. Yeah.
Having been recused.
You go down at the end when you're in the sentences.
Let me look here. Is that any better? Having been recused, I don't know. I don't believe it's appropriate that I answer the question.
He said that he had been previously
recused. Because you're recused, I would think that'd be more reason why you'd be eager to answer, because you are a voter. I don't know that's
not yes. Yeah. Well, unless advised otherwise by council, that's my answer.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you, and I appreciate all of that.
Mm-hmm. Is there a legal call?
She has the microphone.
You have the floor.
Thank you. And Mr. Ferragina, thank you very much for all the work that you're doing with the flag and putting the flag at half staff, even though the governor has illegally ordered it at half staff. Only the President of the United States gets a flag over at half staff for 30 days. However, for this last one, for the PUC person that is having a flag loaded for 2 days, you didn't lower the state flag. And that's part of it. The state flag should also have been lowered. This is a state flea.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. I'll look into that.
It's fine. It doesn't bother me at all, except it bothers me to see the American flag lowered and not the state flag.
No, I appreciate that.
The American flag is a little more important. But thank you. They're both going to go raised up tomorrow. Right?
That's correct.
We'll start tomorrow. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Mr. Fisher.
Art Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I opened the DEP for the reports from complainants of Atlantic Islands between April 20th and September 1st. There were 21 complaints, one in April, 6 in July, 13 in August, and they answered me on September 1st, so I don't have anything after that. But I've heard you say, Mr. Ferragina, for the last 2 meetings about the professionals that are investigating this. I get it. However, people that live within a block or two, or sometimes maybe 5 or 6 away from that site, this is what they're complaining about. Very heavy waves of dust, strong odor of chemicals, strong odor of petroleum products, dust all over, can't breathe, oil sheen in the water, suspected soil contamination, strong petroleum smell in the area of her residence, oil spill causing a sheen on Sandy Hook Bay. And then something big must have happened on August 7th, because not only was there the initial incident report, there were 3 PowerPoint presentations sent to me. These were PowerPoints used by the DEP for discussion of a Gian property incident. A Gian was one of the names through the process of the Denholz becoming Grant Point. I think Gene was about halfway through that. So in those three PowerPoint presentations, there were a total of about 30 photographs of the site. Chemical odors, strong odor of gas coming from the construction site. Odor of oil, strong odor of burning oil, strong odor of gas. The point I'm trying to make is, I don't care what the professionals say. I drove by there today on my way home. They were doing excavating in the street. In the street, and it smells like oil. So I get it that people are watching this, but there's still something wrong. I don't get how they can tell 21 people that they're wrong. They live there. They smell this crap every day. Okay? That's all I have to say about that. On to some other things. But I couldn't hear your report toward the end. Did they answer your letter from the DEP? I couldn't tell if there was actually a response back to you.
The response came to Mr. Ferragina. It was in response to my letter and, I guess, calls that he made as well. So, yes.
Did he have any conclusive things to say, or just basically we're on it? And we'll
you can make the letter available.
Okay. Thank you. Great news about the apparatus. I've been asking about that for 4 years. So good job on that. A suggestion. EV chargers, they're going to be coming into town more and more. I would highly suggest that the council think about having an ordinance for EV chargers that say don't put them under buildings. Because if there's going to be an issue with a vehicle, with a battery going on fire, you don't want it under 30 apartments at number 160, First Avenue.
For example.
Mr. Ferragina, I know you met with the DOT about Memorial Drive. As I was driving to my firehouse on September 11th, and I saw the flag still at full staff, I said, boy, it would be nice to have these at half staff today. And then it occurred to me, if we're going to be doing work there, could we move the flagpoles to the side of the highway that doesn't have the wires?
We'd have to get their permission.
I get that, but I mean, this way it would at least be accessible. There could be locked lanyards on them, and it would. I know it's a big problem lowering the flags, and we're even taking them down for the winter. But just a suggestion with that. Last thing, another suggestion. I was looking for the voting times for the special election, and I looked on the website, and the date's on there, but there's no times. It is from 12 to 8, but, I mean, if people are looking, we should make it kind of...
So we can have that on the website, yeah.
That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Harmon.
Mike Harmon, 33, Bonnie Gray Path. First, I just want to commend the council for your stand on the regionalization. It's still a no-brainer. There's some snags in there, but no-brainer. The thing that came up the other night, which I thought was interesting, was that the board members would be picked by census. Lincoln's has 4,200 people. Highlands has 4,800. The equalized value, which was also an issue, versus equalized value and number of students. Lincoln's will be picking up 52% of the cost, which is about what we do right now. So there is some confusion from some people about the cost, whether it's cost when you get to the cost per student issue, which I don't think is a non-relevant issue. So I commend you for that. And secondly, on the open space for the Mother Teresa and any other open space, I'm always available to work or talk to you or anything. I've tried to open up doors. One of the things with the parks, we were in a bit of a hold until April because we didn't have the new program in place. It was not funded. But the new program changes the grants from $250,000 on open space acquisition to up to 75% of the cost up to the first $5 million and 50% after that. So it's a really well-funded and aggressive open space acquisition plan. The second part of it after the acquisition is that we've increased the, I said we, you two, that's all of us, we've increased the development of the parks grants to 500 from 250. So if, in theory, if Atlantic Islands purchases a piece of property, the next day you can apply for the development of that property if you want at a 50% rate. Working with Doug Strum over in Fairhaven, one of the things that's unbelievable, towns have been coming out of the woodwork to apply for these grants since April. And a lot of waterfront properties, a lot of properties that were unreachable when the cost of the when the limit of the grant is $250,000. And there's a lot of towns that can't buy a lot for $250,000 in the So it's a really good thing, I think. You'll have to figure it out. There's some snags over there with Mother Teresa. There's some mixed signals coming out of the diocese versus the church. And, but it's very hard for them to make some changes. But what we've experienced in parks is we've been talking to them on several other properties because, unfortunately, as you know, a lot of the Catholic churches are under pressure, but they also have tremendous fields and gyms and all kinds of opportunities for recreation. And in each of the cases, there's been some snags about the local priests who actually, they're the boots on the ground, they make the decisions. But in reality, the diocese runs the financial part of it. And there's discussions about what's the best way to go. But a lot of these properties inevitably will be lost by the church. And the developers are lining up like you can't believe. Toll Brothers, every developer is out there right now eyeing these properties because there's so few big properties left. So that's all I have to say. So thank you.
Right, thank you.
You have a breath, right?
You do?
More Spicer, 6 Victoria Woods Drive. I have good news and bad news. What was your like first?
Bad news.
Okay. I like that. Okay. Exactly 2 months ago to the day, I received an email from the borough administrator about the litter. I responded. I didn't receive a response to it. I'd like to read it. Hi, Morgan. Thank you again for painting the flag drop box at Borough Hall. Much appreciated, which I did not get paid for. I did because I'm a very strong patriot. On a separate note, the mayor and I took a drive down to the harbor this morning to walk around and inspect the area you referenced last evening around the gazebo, as well as other areas of the harbor. We did not see any excessive amount of litter that you described last night. We have made a significant amount of improvements to the harbor in the past couple years and appreciate any help you can provide. The borough also plans on having additional improvements to the harbor area as we move forward. Please email me pictures when you see excessive litter or areas of concern in the harbor, and I will do my best to have the staff attend to it immediately. In addition, regarding pesticides, I confirmed with DPW Director Jimmy Phillips, as well as the Harbor Manager Lou Flieger, that pesticides are not used by any borough employees anywhere in the borough. Thanks again, have a nice weekend. To which I responded, hello, Mayor and Mr. Ferragina. Thank you so much for taking a look. I suppose we have different definitions of excessive. Zach and I went down to the marina and spent an hour cleaning up around the gazebo, and we found plenty, I would say, excessive amounts of garbage. To note, we also found cannabis paraphernalia in the actual play area, as well as a dime bag and countless cigarettes in the play area. Afterward, we walked the dogs around the perimeter of the entire harbor and marina and took note of litter in every single nook and cranny around the senior building, the parking lot, the C Street building, and around the tennis courts. It's pretty hard to see that even after our hour of efforts, it was everywhere. I'm glad to hear that I was mistaken about the pesticides. Is this also the case for herbicides? I remember debating older council about spraying in the harbor for mosquitoes, and they had said that they have been doing this for decades. I would appreciate any clarification on this. We really appreciate Mr. Phillips and all that DPW do. We wish the town could put up signs for tickets if you litter or promote some sort of citizen engagement on a monthly basis to come out and clean up to help DPW. Hopefully once the borough is able to send emails to all residents, we could pioneer such a thing. Happy to organize along with any of the commissioners to make this happen as to not put more on Mr. Phillips' plate, as I know he's already stretched too thin with much bigger problems. Have a good weekend. And then I sent 4 photos of all the litter we picked up, including my husband, who's a volunteer EMT here in town who helped clean up and not get a response. A couple days later, I sent another picture when I found a sign in front of the borough, a sign that says, pesticide treated area, with a sign with a crossed out dog and child. To which I said, I'm a little confused and dismayed by your recent email and the comments about the pesticides. I was relieved to read your word and happy to accept that I had been wrong. However, I know it's more likely you were playing the semantics with me, which I find super disheartening. Perhaps no borough employees are directly spraying pesticides onto borough property, but someone sure is. Can you please explain your recent email and how it does not jive with the attached photo? Is this picture not taken of borough property? Is this company donating its pesticides, or are we in fact paying for it as a borough? So that's the bad news, because I didn't get a response, which I was pretty upset about. The good news is, the marina looks amazing. Somebody is doing an amazing job, and I have enjoyed my walks around the marina like tenfold since this happened. So clearly, something changed. I'm upset that it took basically calling me a liar to do that, and I'm hurt by it, and that's that. My next thing is a positive. I would like to thank the borough engineer. I think that taking the picture of that tree and showing everybody well before it gets taken down is a great move. I feel really good about that, and I hope that that kind of thing continues so that everyone knows changes before they happen. I do want to correct Councilman Colasero about his report on the Environmental Commission. As much as I think there was some conversation about 160, I think the majority of the conversation was about deadholes. Another good thing, I really appreciate all the comments about deadholes tonight. I also think that Mark Fisher deserves all the credit in the world for keeping up on this. I have also personally spoken to residents who are not having a great time. And I think that if they're concerned about the livelihood of small businesses when someone wants to come here to film, we should be doubly concerned about the quality of life of the people who are living near this construction site. There are infants and elderly people who are smelling this every day. I don't really care what the developer says. I'm not really sure that the health and well-being of the Land Islands is their biggest concern. So I hope that we continue to follow that, and what are we going to do when these people buy the houses? All of their neighbors are going to know what happened. It's just going to create more strife. The longer we let this go, and the more we just kind of like ignore it and don't mention it. I mean, it's like, it's shocking to me, especially like when, sorry, I'm very upset about the animal situation. I'll stop with that before I get too emotional. I also want to mention Councilman Murphy. I think he very beautifully talked about what this month means to you, and we had a gentleman here who, it's tragic. I would like to say once again, I know it's falling on deaf ears, and I know everyone has their opinions about this, but the reason that people don't go to the doctor and get diagnosed at the right time is because they can't afford insurance, or because their doctor changed, or because there's a waiting list, or whatever, or they don't even have insurance because they can't afford insurance. So as beautiful as your words were, and as nice as it is to acknowledge these things, it would be even better if you actually did something by signing a universal healthcare or Medicare for All, whatever you want to call it, resolution, which sends a message to our councilman, Pallone, and then he knows, okay, Atlantic Island is one of the 18 communities in New Jersey who has signed on to say healthcare should be a human right, because it is horrible that people don't get the help they need because they can't afford it, or because they don't have insurance, or whatever else. And until we figure out the healthcare system, nice, like, months dedicated to these people who are dying does absolutely nothing. So, thank you.
How you guys doing? I'm Angus, 135 Center Ave. I live across from the Pennell's property. This is the kind of stuff that you can find on the low tide. I just want to make sure everybody's aware of it. There's just tiles and tar. This was a couple, like about a week ago, but this is today. It's just tar. When you touch it, it smells. I don't know if you guys want to actually smell the oil that was just on the, I videotaped myself digging in the dirtiest, oily, smelliest part. It's I'm not going to even close this until somebody asks me to, but you can smell the oil. And I'm just curious, are you familiar with the old remediation project that happened originally with the seven tanks when they removed some dirt?
Not in depth, personally?
Right, because are you aware that they cut the seawall in half at the site? Have you or anybody in your company ever walked there low tide?
I've been to the site at low tide. Can't confirm what the tide
is. Is there somebody in your company that
many times
accompany me to walk around the public areas to see the things that I'm seeing?
If that's what mayor and council want me to do, we'll make ourselves better.
Right, I'm just saying that this is, like, anybody here can just smell this. I have videotape of me digging it up. There's a plume. Are you familiar with the plume?
Would you address the mayor, and then if she wants to send it to a professional, she will. I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to address whoever.
The mayor's going to be right.
This is the court of law. I don't know. This is my first time.
No, we appreciate that. Just, I should have stopped.
I remember I emailed you originally some questions. I never really got an answer. He did respond where we're not going to use that access except in emergencies or something like that. But I think that my court request here is I think there should be a special meeting about this Denholz property, and I want to know how I can get a special meeting, because I don't want to bog up the workings of government and the judicial thing. I think there's a lot of issues there. I think that they're clearly violating erosion laws and waterway laws, and it's like, if you test this sample, it's definitely more polluted than the samples that they're testing at random places. If my uneducated look at this, they are spreading all the dirt in circles, and then when you test it, it's kind of the same thing. But at low tide, you can see, and at different points in the tide, you can see drips of oil coming off of the seawall. You can see in the foam, there's a different kind of, like, a creamy, oil-laden foam in mid-tide when there's action against the current seawall. They cut the seawall in half, okay, and it's dropped, the dirt has dropped about 2 feet since they cut the seawall. There was a clay cap that was part of an original remediation project. They dug through the clay cap, okay? I can point out where oil is on the, and where the tar balls like this that were never on that beach that are now, you know, all over the beach. This is not asphalt. This isn't roughage. This is stuff that's coming out of the previous pollution site. And I don't know why the DEP or soil conservation, I mean, it's obvious soil is eroding there. I have pictures of this whole process about how much, and they keep putting the dirt closer, and then every tide, some of the dirt comes in over the silt fence, because the silt fence is not designed to protect anything, okay? So, like, I just don't want you guys to, like, pretend like nothing is going on there and have a set of permits that were, like, who know, like, for example, on Monday, I had noticed that the DEP was violating from Supervisor Charles Vesey. This is a text I have on Monday. Okay, on Tuesday, I talked to Rich Colangelo, and he knew that that site had a violation. But on the 31st, you wrote that thing that there was no violation. There's a problem there, like, Rich. And I didn't bring it up to Rich that there was a violation. He knew there was a violation, okay, before you wrote that. So from my point of view, if you're going to write something, right, and your employee knew about it 2 days before, okay, then somebody needs to correct that statement, right, or, like, I feel like I'm being gaslit here. Like, there's more problems than that little thing there. You can see the oil in the water at different times. When it's raining, tons of sediment are eroding into the ocean to the point where for about 5 acres, you could see sediment in the water. All of this is documented, right? So, like, I don't want you guys to pretend like all the paperwork is in the file and nothing to see here, okay? Like, this stuff, I would like any, like, you go smell this. I don't know if you've been there, right? But you can smell this, and I know you don't want to answer, but, like, I can smell it, okay? And this is just one little pile of a 7-acre thing, of which there were 7 oil tanks there for 50 to 100 years, okay? So there's definitely pollution, there's testing. We don't have any of the access to the information, okay? There's still lots of polluted dirt in there, okay? And now it's eroding into the ocean, okay? And that's basically, I wanna go, like, the next time I see the CME truck, I'm gonna walk there, low tide, show where the seawall is cut in half. They have no plan to, like, stop the erosion into the ocean, and every tide cycle, more stuff erodes into the ocean. Like, even if it wasn't polluted, that's illegal. You can't do that in a job site, okay? You can't willingly let tons of dirt erode into a waterway. I'll figure out what specific law it is, but that's not legal in America nowadays, okay? Like, there's rules about that. It took all those calls to the DEP. We had the DEP there 3 times. I had to walk them to the front and show them, look at where it's eroding. The thing about the side between the catamaran club, that's one slice of an issue, okay? Because the front is entirely eroding. And quite frankly, they should remove this dirt before you put houses for the next 100 years. They should remove all the dirt where it's polluted. I don't know where it's polluted. I don't go on the property. But people do know where it's more polluted, which is why they threw out some of the dirt, you know, after the plan never was to throw out any of the dirt, right? Like, that's part of the problem, is that DEP half-assed this thing. And I understand nobody wants to be sued by a developer, myself included, okay? But you guys have a responsibility to the environment, and you have a responsibility to the future owners of those properties, you have a responsibility to the current owners of those properties, to try to do the right thing. And if I can get your engineer or permission to show, like, and I can set the 3 or 7 things that they're violating, okay, then we could have an open discussion and move on from there. But it's a bad site, and this is the start of the thing. And that's, I just want to go on record with, you can all smell this dirt. And again, it was about this much dirt because of the last rain and the way it drains. But the whole site is draining out this stuff into the bed. Every time the tide, every time it's, you know, over a half inch of rain, tons and tons of dirt are going into the bay. And that's illegal even if it wasn't polluted, but it's also polluted. So I'd like more public information about the testing, what they're doing with the dirt they threw out, we still don't even have any of the testing info as public information without an open request. And I feel like that's just like negligence when there's problems having polluted oil fields where people are gonna raise kids and breed. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's long-term issues here that I believe that the town, soil conservation, the DEP are largely kind of ignoring and hoping it goes away. But 40 years of testing it, that's not doing, there's no remediation plan other than testing it, but they know where the big oil is and they hit it by accident that one day, like he was talking about, that all the people were calling freaking out, okay, because they had a super dirty pile of dirt, okay, super oily, chemicalated, they decided to throw it out, burn it, however they dealt with it. But there's more to this story, and like, I'm not here just to be like a Chicken Little. I just don't want to see a situation where we could fix something now, and I also, quite frankly, I'm not going to stop regardless of what this state or you guys are saying, because I think just public awareness of this is going to do a lot. Right, like, they're going to change things, and I think that already they change things quickly because they don't want the public heat of half-assing a polluted oil field job. So Thanks for your time. I'm all for regionalization. on that issue, if it's no vote, I think really there's other options that everybody should be investigating with regionalization. We could always try to merge with short regional for our high school or other maneuvers, but it's a, you have the, like, that thing where they're negotiating the money, which is what my personal feeling is why everybody, all the council and Highlands are really voting. It's just because they didn't like the tax, the equalized assessment way of modeling that. They're kind of ignorant. I think the history, the extra cost on their students, the fact that a lot of our elementary kids do not go on to the high school, like there's a lot of numbers things that really need to be talked about if we're going to have a no vote and then go try to re-vote this every couple of years. So that's all I have to say. I'm going to do this, but I'll take my big pile of, it's just a pile of tar and my other ones, but I'm going to leave that one. And again, I would like to show actual professionals where the problems are in that job, because you haven't gone to the coast in low or mid tide where you're wading in there, or the rain when it's collapsing into the ocean, and you look at the top, it just looks like a normal job site, but there, people aren't actually checking where the pollution is and where the erosion problems are. And I think it was poorly engineered from the beginning, and people just, you know, are like, everybody filled paperwork, and that's, it's like everything was checked, so it seems okay, but that smell is for real, not imaginary. Okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I'm not going to take that.
I don't see any. Okay.
One more comment.
Sure.
Allison Jacobs, Lee Grand, I am on the Board of Education, as you know, for Atlantic Highlands. I want to extend my thank you to you, Mayor, and to the council for your support, as always, for the school. I know that it's disappointing for some people that Seaway isn't included in this. I do want to reiterate, as a Board of Education member, not speaking for the board, that we do want Seaway. It is disappointing that we're not doing it all at once. But this is, as the mayor said, a very good first step in order to get that to happen. And some very important things along the way will happen as far as saving the state aid that we're currently losing. It will also bring a lot of efficiencies to all three schools from number one. And it will also pave the way as a pre-K through 12, as Peter Angus said, to invite other regions, including Seabright, to join us. And I want to reiterate, as Tracy Abbey White asked earlier, since we already have a petition in front of the Department of Education with all six of us entities, we do not need to do another feasibility study in order to have Seabright join us. Once the Department of Education makes a determination of this litigation, which could take a long time, we will welcome Seabright with open arms if that decision is positive. If it is not positive, then I wouldn't want that to happen. And we would appreciate, we do appreciate all of your support. Mm-hmm. Oh, as always, thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
I'm going to be real quick. 4 Barbado, 22 Laurie Road. I am for regionalization, and one of the reasons is I've been involved in thanking Michelle for all the overages that she helped me with. The lawyer's fees are over about $120,000 since this started, and that is not with the last 5 months. So they have another tally of 5 more months of lawyer's fees. So if this thing continues on, it's not going to be worth it. So, vote yes.
Thank you. Okay, I see no hands. Are there anyone on Zoom?
No hands raised on the
All right, so now we need a motion announcement. Oh, come up, sir.
Ellen O'Guire, 81 East Lincoln Avenue, at the corner of Grant. Really happy to hear about the Grant Avenue plan. Historical Society has their 43rd annual flea market this Saturday, which is also American Legion Day. Thank you. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be at the Marina. They're going to have a table with gift shop items, raffle tickets, and also have a food and beverages for sale, breakfast items earlier in the day, and then lunch items later in the day. And the American Legion is going to have a table also. We're receiving or hoping to get donations from the public to help us with our programs to support veterans. I invite you to stop at both tables.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for the reminder. So, I need a motion and a second to go to executive session.
I'll make a motion. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So, I'm done. I'm going. Okay. I have to be here.
Good night.
One of the comedians.
Jack Park.
Jack Park.
That's right.